has love for one another. I'm going to read verses 7 through verse 11. I want today to just see what we've looked at, what the Bible has to say about loving the brethren. Today we want to see what John has to say about it here in the book of 1 John. Verse 7, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The first thing that John tells us concerning loving the brethren is it's a commandment. It is a commandment. We see that in verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment. And then in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you. It's not a new commandment in the sense that it's an old commandment. That is, goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Leviticus 19 and verse 18, we see that we are commanded to love the brethren. John chapter 15 and verse 17, Jesus commanded his disciples to love the brethren. So it's a commandment. And I write no new commandment, verse 7. It's because it's an old commandment. This is not something new. But then in verse 8, he does speak of it as a new commandment. It's no contradiction. There is a sense in which the exhortation to love one another is both an old commandment and a new commandment. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the old commandment, Leviticus 19, verse 18, love one another. He has taken the old commandment and he has made that old commandment a new commandment. That is, Jesus Christ has done that. And that this is why he in the book of John, if we turn there, chapter 13, we see Jesus makes reference to this in John chapter 13, verses 34 and verse 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. A new commandment, but it's an old commandment. But again, it's new in the sense that Jesus Christ has made it new. That ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The newness of it is not that ye love one another, that's old. But the new is, as I have loved you, so ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Because of who Christ is, because of what Christ has done, he has taken the old commandment, love one another, and he has made it possible, because of what he has done, he has made it possible for us to love in an entirely different manner. That is, we can love as he loved. In that sense, it's a new commandment. So it's both an old commandment and a new commandment. In other words, Jesus Christ has given us a new reason to love one another. So to love one another is a commandment. That means that it is an order. It is an order from God. It is a directive from God. It is a demand. It is a requirement. John refers to it as such. Notice in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is his commandment. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Just as it is commanded to believe, it is commanded to love one another. As, that is, you don't love any way you please, as he gave us commandment. That is, we're to do these things as he has instructed us in doing. And then notice in 1 John 4, verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So it's a commandment. That means it's an obligation. We are obligated to love one another. It means that it is our duty to love one another. He says there in 1 John 3, in verse 11, notice the last phrase of verse 11, that we should, we want to focus on that word should, that we should, that conveys the idea of obligation. If you should do something, that means there's an obligation. It means it would be good for you to do. That we should love one another. So to love one another is a commandment. It is something that we should do. That is, it's something that we are obligated to do. It is something that is good to do. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us. And then notice that word, those two words, let us. That's an imperative. Again, speaks of a requirement. Let us love one another. And then in 1 John 4 and verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. Notice that word ought. We have should. We should love one another. Let us. An imperative, love one another. And here we're told that we ought. So it's something that we ought to do, which indicates, again, a duty. But if you ought to do something, that also indicates that what you ought to do is correct. It's never wrong. It's always correct to love one another. It's something that you ought to do. There are no conditions, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's simply something that we ought to do. It's something that's correct. It's something that's proper. That ye ought also to love one another. So from all of those verses that John has written, it tells us this one thing. That loving one another is an act of obedience. And if loving one another is an act of obedience, then not loving one another, of course, is an act of disobedience, which, of course, means that it is a sin not to love one another, not to express that love. And speaking of expressing, that we see that John goes on to say here in 1 John that love to the brethren is a manifestation. It manifests something. And John is very, very clear about this. He makes it very clear that love for the brethren is a manifestation of one's spiritual position, and it is a manifestation of one's spiritual condition. In other words, if you do not love the brethren, if you do not love them, that speaks volumes of your spiritual position. It also speaks volumes of your spiritual condition. So notice here, if we go back to 1 John chapter 2, in verse 9, we see that love for the brethren is a manifestation of where we abide. We're told here in verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Now notice, it does not say that he's probably in darkness. That's not what it says. It says if he hates his brother, he is in darkness. To emphasize that, he says, even until now. That is, right now, he is in darkness. I have seen with my eyes and heard with my ears in the Lord's churches more hatred at times than I see and hear out in the world. Love to the brethren is a manifestation of where we abide. If we do not love our brethren, that also is a manifestation of where we abide. Now, the Bible says that when we're saved, he delivers us from darkness. He translates us from darkness to light. Now, I believe what this is saying is this is more than the individual who hates his brother is backslidden and has slipped back or slid back into darkness. I believe it's saying much more than that. I believe it's saying he's lost. That he's a lost individual. He's never has been translated from darkness to light. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And he goes on in verse 10. He says, he that loveth his brother abideth, present tense, in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That is, this individual doesn't stumble himself. He doesn't become a stumbling block to others. Why? Because he abides in the light. So love for the brethren is a manifestation of one's abiding, where we dwell. It also is a manifestation of salvation. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That takes place at the new birth. That's what the new birth is. The new birth is going from death to life. And until you become alive, you cannot believe. There are many today who want to argue that faith comes before the new birth. I'm sorry, it doesn't. The new birth has to come first. Because a dead man cannot do anything. He cannot believe. As soon as the new birth takes place, that man hears, that man believes, he has passed from death unto life. Then it goes on and says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That is, we have this assurance because, that is for this reason, we love the brethren. So if someone says, well, I really struggle loving my brethren, well, you better take to heart 1 John 3, verse 14. I know I'm saved, but I really, really struggle with loving the brethren. I'm sorry, but you can't know that you're saved. Because this verse says, we know that we have passed from life unto death, or death unto life, because we love the brethren. So if you don't love the brethren, how can you know? This is a sure sign. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Again, this doesn't mean that he was born again and somehow he slid back into the realm of death. There is no such backsliding. You're born again, you're born again. You don't slide back into death. And so what he's saying here is if you hate your brother, you're lost. That's what it says. And people today, you look at individuals and I've known them, I've seen them, I've dealt with them. They struggle all the time. They have no love in their heart at all for the brethren. They're lost. There is no doubt in my mind they're lost. Well, that's being judgmental. No, that's believing what the verse says. They're lost. They do not know the Lord. So it is a manifestation of salvation. Loving one another manifests that we're saved. It ought to thrill your heart if you can love somebody that you don't even know. Simply because they're a child of God, that ought to thrill your heart. That is a manifestation that you're saved. Because I'll be honest with you, when I was lost, I couldn't stand people who professed to be saved. I mean, I despised them. But as soon as the Lord saved me, I loved them. And again, so if you love the brethren, that is a manifestation of salvation. Along those same lines, in 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, that is one another, is born of God. Now, John chapter 3, except a man be born again, there is no salvation, except a man be born again. He that loveth is born of God. And the one who is born of God knoweth God. I don't buy it today. People who will say, well, the Jehovah's Witnesses, some of them are saved, they just don't know the Lord. I'm sorry. The two go hand in hand. If you're born of God, you have a knowledge. You have a personal experience of the Lord. And here, he that loveth, in the context, his brother, is born of God. So when we love one another, it proves that the new birth has taken place. Being born of God is not the result of loving one another. But loving one another is the result of being born again. Being born of God has certain results. If those results are not there, it is because the birth is not there. Well, they say they're saved. Doesn't matter what they say. How many times has John told us that? Doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact. You can say right now it's nighttime. It doesn't change the fact that it's daytime. What you say doesn't change the fact. And a person can say they're saved all day long. It doesn't make it so. The manifestation. Well, all we can go by is what they say. Where do you find that in the Word of God? You don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. You find just the opposite. You're to measure their fruit. By their fruit ye shall know them. If someone acts like a lost person, it's probably because they are a lost person. And if someone acts like a saved person, it's probably because they are a saved person. Now, we all act at times like a lost person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about consistently. You know of someone that just consistently acts like a lost person, they act more like a lost person than they do a saved person, it's because they're lost. It's because they're lost. Well, I just can't bear the thought of them being lost. Well, then live with a lie. But I'm telling you, they're lost. So, being born of God will manifest itself in loving. And notice here in 1 John 4 and verse 7, there are no exceptions. He that loveth is born of God. There are no exceptions there. That is, everyone that is born of God loves one another. No exceptions whatsoever. Now, the natural man cannot live or love in a sense that Christ loved. Natural man cannot do that. The only love that a natural man can have is a natural love. Natural affection is what the Bible refers to it as. But only a child of God can love as Christ loved. And that's what 1 John is talking about. So what John says here in 1 John 4 and verse 7 is a very serious matter. for those who profess Christ, who are unloving, who are unkind toward those who are saved, their very conduct, John says, pronounces that they have never been born again. They never have been born again. We see also that love for the brethren is a manifestation that one knows God. We've run out of time, and we'll continue there next week. But we see that love for the brethren is a manifestation. It's a manifestation of where you live. It is a manifestation that you know God. It's a manifestation that you've been born of God. It's a manifestation of salvation to love the brethren. It gives us the assurance that we're saved. Let's look to the Lord.